Hello and welcome aboard the Story Ark. I'm your Captain Kenny Meters, and Christmas time is a time of lights, magic, and above all, service and love. I think today's episode really exemplifies these ideas, and it's from friend of the show, Elizabeth Gibson, who I always love listening to her stories. So here is Elizabeth with her story, The Story of Old Christmas.
Whenever the holidays begin to approach, I find myself reminiscing back over my life at the wonderful Christmases I've enjoyed as a child, as a young adult, as a young parent. But by and large, the one Christmas Eve that stands out above them all is the Christmas Eve I spent with my friend Mary Ann, part on Candy Cane Lane. Now, shortly after I left college, I moved to Los Angeles, and while I was there, my church congregation assigned me and my roommate to watch over a mother-daughter duo. Their names were Mary Ann and Kareen. We were supposed to make sure that all their needs were met. Now, they had needs aplenty. Mary Ann and Kareen had spent much of their lives homeless, and at this time, they were living in a rented home, which looked like a hovel. Unfortunately, the landlord had nailed all their windows shut, and then Kareen, in an effort to figure like she would never be wanting for anything again, became a hoarder. She also was partially blind, so food lay where it spilt. Their little puppy's accidents lay where they were spilt. And then if there was a human accident, that it pretty much lay where it was spilt. It was not a good environment. So when my roommate and I started becoming their friend, we decided we were going to change their life. We would get them into a brand new place, and life would be so much better. As nice as that thought was, what we didn't understand, but which we came to perceive, was that you can move someone, but if there are any mental health issues, the dysfunction follows them so that the second place may become as bad or potentially even worse than the first. This is the point in knowing Mary Ann and Kareen where most people would just say goodbye. Nothing was going to get better. Nothing was going to change. So they would just absent themselves from their lives. We were very aware of this. So my roommate and I just decided, well, we can't change their lives, but maybe we could bring a little bit of happiness to them by being friends, spending some time with them, having some lighthearted fun. And that's what we set out to do. We would often go over and drink in some California sunshine, sitting in the backyard, telling tales to one another, jokes, laughing, just spending time together. But we especially began to nourish our relationship with Mary Ann, who was only about 10 years older than us. And so we would take her on what we affectionately came to call Missy dates. We would pick her up in her wheelchair, put her wheelchair in the back, and then we would take her on drives, take her to have ice cream, to the movies, push her through the mall. I always wondered why Mary Ann was in a wheelchair. I came to learn the story one time from Kareen. Mary Ann is what my mother would have called a much sinned against person. Let me explain. One time when they were homeless, they met someone who offered for them to come stay a few days in their apartment so that they could take a decent bath and come in out of the weather. While they were there, one day, 19-year-old Mary Ann was lured down into the basement by a different resident, where he attacked her, beat her about the head so badly that the brain damage created a situation where she was consigned to a wheelchair her whole life. She suffered from grand mal seizures, which would rob her of days, weeks, months of memory whenever they happened, and it slurred her speech very badly. Well, We spent several years getting to know Marianne and Corrine and having a lovely time. And then when Christmas was about to roll around and I was not going to go home, I didn't have enough time off from work to make the long trek to the East Coast. All my friends would be busy with their families. So I decided this was the time to take Marianne on a special Christmas Eve and drive her to visit Candy Cane Lane. Now, Candy Cane Lane was an 8-square block area of Woodland Hills, a suburb of Los Angeles, where ever since the late 40s, early 50s, the homes on those blocks have decorated their houses to the nines. And in these more modern times, they would have synchronized music and light displays, animatronics with little dancing elves and moving figures on their lawns, beautiful thousands and thousands of multicolored lights. Such a popular attraction that it took a long time to get through just that small, limited area. So with Corrine's permission, on Christmas Eve, I picked Marianne up, put her wheelchair in the back of the car just in case, got her in, belted her up, and we headed on down the dark freeway to Woodland Hills. For the 30-minute drive, we turned on a radio station that was playing 24-hour Christmas carols, and we enjoyed each other's company. When we finally got to Winnetka and got off the freeway, we entered a long caravan of cars that were headed exactly where we were going, slowly rolling up the street, eventually arriving at Oxnard, the beginning of the fun. So with Christmas carols playing in our car, we turned onto that wonderful street. And with the first vision of those incredibly splendiferous lights, I turned and looked at Marianne. And here she was, a woman in her mid-40s, eyes alight with the light she was observing, and grinning from ear to ear. She looked like a 6-year-old child seeing a Christmas tree for the very first time. Oh, I knew this had been a good idea. So we slowly rolled forward, enjoying the displays. There was something to see everywhere you laid your eyes. Occasionally, the caravan of cars would come to a complete stop, as families would jump out of the car and take pictures of their children standing in front of their favorite displays. Up ahead, I noticed that on my side of the street, there was one house that would lay dark for quite a while. And then every so often, it would light up. I couldn't tell with what. And then it would fall dark again. Wouldn't you know it, when we finally pulled abreast of this particular house, we got snarled in traffic. We came to a stop, and guess what? The house was dark. Great. Then, suddenly, like an avalanche but flowing upwards, all the lights began to come alive. It was long green strings of light that came down onto the yard in a broad base and then went up to a peak at the roof with a golden star. It was a gigantic Christmas tree, 2 stories tall. And then best of all, underneath it, in the middle of the Christmas tree skirt, was a lit nativity of the Christ child, Mary and Joseph. And just at that time, when the lights hit their zenith on the radio, almost like by the hand of providence, the Christmas carol, Silent Night, began to play. I turned to Mary Ann. I had never heard her sing before, but she began. I was not old enough, and then I started. All is calm, all is bright. We locked eyes, and as we sang the song together, what hung between us in the air was a collective of memories from her early childhood and my life, Christmases of the past that were magical. You could feel it. It brought tears to our eyes, and as we continued to sing the song, a feeling began to build in the car. A wonderful warmth, peaceful, dynamic, incredible feeling of joy. Tears began to form in her eyes. I could see them, same as mine. We could feel it, and it wasn't just happiness. It was like Ebenezer Scrooge gifts a giant Christmas turkey to Bob Cratchit's family kind of joy. Tiny Tim is healed from his crippling illness kind of joy, or a quiet kind of joy, like we got to witness the original Christmas star and all that that means kind of joy was in the car. And suddenly the world was just me, Marianne, the song, beauty, and the feeling of the Christ child. And then the song came to an end. And almost as if by divine design, the lights went out, the cars began to move again, and we continued through the display. But forever after that night, the atmosphere in the car was altered, alive, peaceful, beautiful, dynamic. As we drove to the end of the Christmas displays, I took one last look at Marianne before we headed out into the dark night. She was brimming from ear to ear, eyes wet with tears. Wonderful. We entered the freeway, and during the 30 minutes it took us to drive home, we listened to carols, but we did not utter one word, each lost in happy thoughts. By the time I pulled up at Marianne's little house, got her out of the car, got her into her wheelchair, Corrine came up to greet us. I wished her a Merry Christmas. And then I got back in my car and I drove home. But my heart was full of gratitude that I'd been able to help Marianne have something that no one could ever take from her. Whatever the vicissitudes of life that would afflict her in the future, losing a home, losing her health, losing Corrine, she would have that one shining moment. But it was not to be. Several weeks later, Marianne suffered a grand mal seizure, and it wiped out the entire month of December from her memories. And try as I might to try to ignite a little spark of remembrance in her by saying, remember this or remember that, or we sang this, she would look at me like, what are you talking about? To say I was heartbroken is putting it mildly. The way I comforted myself is the same way I comfort myself now. I like to think of Marianne at a future time, healed of her afflictions, both mental and physical, able to stand erect next to me as we hold the torch of the flame of that evening together. Until that time, I carry it alone. But it is the experience against which I judge all Christmases. Sometimes I get pretty close to that incredible feeling, and other times not so much. But when I don't, it's because I know I haven't made the space, taken the time, opened my arms, drawn in, shared. I think We believe a Christmas is wonderful if we have the right decorations, the perfect food, just the right present, all the people we love, all the music that's our favorite. And these things are lovely. But if you want to have a magical Christmas, the best of all, here is the golden key. We look around us and find the Marianne and Kareens around us, and they are everywhere. And we don't just take Christmas to them, which is okay. We open our doors and share Christmas with them, experience it with them, because in bringing them joy, we feel so much joy ourselves. The kind of joy that Marianne and I found together as we sang Silent Night to each other, parked on Candy Cane Lane.
The Story Arc is a production of Food for Thought Audio. This episode was written, produced, and edited by me, Kenny Mears. I'd like to thank today's guest, Elizabeth Gibson. Elizabeth is a professional storyteller. You can find more information on her at her website, thetellerist.com. And if you want some ideas on how to light the world better this holiday season with service, go check out the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Light the World program at lighttheworld.org. That's lighttheworld.org. And I hope you have a wonderful Christmas season.